Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Moshe Chaim Byron. Meseches Yoma has been dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Robert Goodman. Le'iloi Nishmas Chaim Menachem Aaron Ben Yecheskel Nechemya.
Yuma Daf Gimel. The Gemara continues to discuss the drasha from the pasuk Kasher Osa B'Yom Hazeh Tziva Hashem Lasso Yislechaper Aleichem. And the Gemara is trying to decide how we know to learn from this pasuk Adin Prisha before Yom Kippur. The Gemara early on asks, maybe it's for a different regel. Maybe it's Prisha before the Avodah of one of the other Yomim Tovim is done. And the Gemara continues to ask here on Daf Gimel, Ve'im Matzeres. The Prisha Shivel Yom Echad. Maybe the Prisha was before the regel of Atzeres, which is a one-day Yontif, similar to the Miluim, where there was a Prisha Shiva for Yom Echad. So how do we know to learn to Yom Kippur? Maybe learn to Atzeres. On that, Rabbi Abba answers, Amar Rabbi Abba, Donin par echod va'ayel echod, mi par echod va'ayel echod, la'afuke atzeres t'shnei ilim ninu. We learn from Miluim, where there was a par and an ayel, to Yom Kippur, where there was also a par and an ayel. As opposed to Shavuos, there were two ilim. The Gemara continues, Han nichol man da'omar yom ha'kippurim ayel echod hu, elo man da'omar shnei ilim ninu ma'ikol ha'meymar. The Gemara brings in Machlekes Rebbe and Reb Elazar ben Shimon. If the ayel that's mentioned in Parashas Achrei Mois is one and the same to the ayel that's mentioned in Parashas Pinchas, Rebbe holds it's the same ayel, and Reb Elazar ben Shimon holds it's two different ayelim. So the Gemara asks, according to Reb Elazar ben Shimon, how do we know to learn from Miluim to Yom Kippur, as opposed to learning from Miluim to Atzeres? Just like Atzeres has two ayelim, Yom Kippur also has two ayelim. So Miluim is not identical to Yom Kippur. On that, the Gemara answers, no. Afilu Tamar Reb Elazar ben Shimon, Hosam Chad Luchaybes Hayoim V'Chad Lumusafin. Lafuki Atzeres Ditarayu Chaybes Hayoim. By Yom Kippur, one of these two Elim was for the Chaybes Hayoim, and one was for the Musafin. As opposed to Shavuos, both of the Elim were for the Chaybes Hayoim. So we can learn from Miluim, where there was a Par Echad and Ayel Echad, to Yom Kippur, where there's a Par Echad and Ayel Echad. And even though actually there were really two Elim, but those are, since they're two different categories, it's not considered two, it's considered one. And therefore, it's a good limud from the Miluim to Yom Kippur. Now, what does it mean that the two Elim on Atzeres were for Chayves Hayoim? Rashi says, L'chayves Shtei Halechem. That the two Elim were coming as a carbon Chayva along with the Shtei Halechem. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk in Parashas Emor, V'hikraftam al Halechem. The Pasuk says to bring together with the Lechem, Shivas Kvasim Tmimim, Par Ben Bokar Echod, Ve'elim Shnoim. These were carbonates that come together with the lechem, and they're called chayves lechem. The lechem is what's mechayev to bring these carbonates along with them, as opposed to the musafin, which were a different set of carbonates. Now the Gemara Menachos Daf Mem Hei discusses the two sets of carbonates on Shavuos, and the Gemara has a half minute to say that perhaps the carbonates which are mentioned in Parshas Emor and the carbonates that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas are really one set of carbonates. The Gemara says that there are seven kvasim mentioned in Parashas Emor, and seven kvasim mentioned in Parashas Pinchas. The Gemara says, Yochol hein hein kvasim ha'amurim kan, hein hein kvasim ha'amurim b'chum shapikudim. Maybe the two sets of kvasim are really one and the same. And the Gemara says, no, amrit kishatam magia eisop harm ve'elim, einom kein. When you reach the parm and the elim, you see that they're different. In Parashas Emor, there's one par and two elim, and Parashas Pinchas is the opposite. Two parim and one ayel. So the Gemara says it must be that there are two sets of carbonis. The Gemara says, Ela halolu boin biglal atzmon, halolu boin biglal halechem. The carbonis that are mentioned in Parashas Pinchas are called boin biglal atzmon. They're choyv on their own. As opposed to the carbonis mentioned in Parashas Emor, they're boin biglal halechem. They come along with the lechem. The Gemara continues over there. The Gemara has an interesting havmina. The Gemara says, how do you know that there's really two, the choyv to bring these two sets? Maybe really you have a choice. Iboi hai makriv, iboi hai makriv. Maybe if you want, you could bring one par and two elim, like it says in Parashas Emor. And if you want, you could bring two parim and one ayel. An interesting havmina. And the Gemara says, no, it can't be. Because you see the order, the way the karbonis are listed, is different. The Gemara comes out in Maskana that these are two separate chayvis, two separate sets of karbonis which are born on Shavuos. And from the Mishnah over there in Menachos, it's clear as well that these two sets have different dinim. The Mishnah says that the karbonis that are mentioned in Parashas Emor, the ones that come with the lechem, Klai Yisrael did not bring them in the midbar. this chayiv started only once Klal Yisrael reached Eretz Yisrael. As opposed to the Karbonos HaMusafin mentioned in Parashas Pinchas, those Klal Yisrael already brought in the Midbar. So it's clear that these were two distinct sets of Karbonos brought on Shavuos. So we have Shavuos as one example of a Yontif that has two sets of Karbonos. Karbonos that were called Musafin, and Karbonos that were Chayves HaYim. On Yom Kippur as well, there were two sets of Karbonos. There are Karbonos that are mentioned in Parashas Achrimos, those are the Chayves HaYim, like the Gemara says over here, that the isle that's mentioned in Parashas Achrimos was called Chayves HaYim, as opposed to the isle mentioned in Parashas Pinchos, if indeed these were two separate Elim, the one in Parashas Pinchos is Musafin. So that's another example of a day where there are two sets of Karbonos. Tosfos mentions over here also that on the day of the Miluim, Yom Shmini LeMiluim, there are Karbonos that were Chayves HaYim, but Tosfos says there were also Karbonos that Musafin. Tosfos says Yom Shmini LeMiluim was Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has a Karbon Musaf. Now we have to really define what exactly is considered a Chayves HaYim and what is considered a Musaf. Is the pshat that only Karbonos mentioned in Parashas Pinchos get a shame of a Musaf, as opposed to Karbonos mentioned in Chumash VaYikra? What exactly is the defining factor for something to get a shame of a Karbon Musaf? And this is very much nageya to our tefillah that we daven on the Yom Tovim. Our tefillah's Musaf, we mentioned the psukim of the Karbonos. However, if we look carefully, we'll see that the only psukim mentioned in our Shemayna Esrei that we daven by tefillah's Musaf are the Karbonos mentioned in Parashas Pinchos. We read the psukim which talk about each yontif, which Karbonos to bring. And there's no mention bechlal of any Karbonos other than those in Parashas Pinchas. For example, in the Shemayna Esrei, in the Tefillah Musaf of Shavuos, we don't make mention bechlal of any of these, of the Karbonos Shnei Alechem, or all these Karbonos that come along with the Shnei Alechem. There's no mention of them bechlal in the Tefillah. As well as Yom Kippur also. We say in the Shemayna Esrei of Musaf on Yom Kippur, the Psukim that are in Parashas Pinchas, the Karbonos HaMusafin. But we don't make any mention bechlal of all the psukim in Parashas Achrimos, all the karbonis that are brought to be mechaper for Klal Yisrael. There's no mention of them. We do mention them in the piyutim, the lengthy piyutim that are part of Chazaras Hashatz. There we go through the whole Seder HaAvodah, but that's not really part of the nusach of the musaf. So it would seem that the only psukim, the only karbonis that make their way into the musaf are the karbonis that have a shame musaf. And here we have to really understand what exactly is considered a musaf and what's considered a chayves hayoyim, and why is it that only karbonos that have a shem musaf are mentioned in our tefillah. And there's really another example for such a thing. On the second day of Pesach, it was the Karbon HaOmer that was brought. There were karbonos that came along with it. We don't make any mention of them in our tefillah, tefillah's musaf, the second day of Pesach. Why not? That was also a unique karbon for that day. So we see the pshat is because it's not a musaf. Only something which is a musaf deserves to be mentioned in the Tefillah's Musaf. So Rashi Bayaz gives us some insight in what exactly is called a Musaf. Rashi says, "Dibur Maschil Hosam Chal L'Chayves Hayoyim." He says, "Ve'enay Kari Musaf." The Chayves Hayoyim are not called Musaf. Why? "De Leksiv Hosam Milvad Oilas Habayker K'deksiv B'chal Musafin." Rashi says, "By all Musafin we find the Lashon of Milvad Oilas Habayker," or similarly, sometimes there's a Lashon of Al Oilas Atomid or Milvad Oilas Atomid. These Lashonis are mashma that the Musaf is an addition to the Karbon Tamid. It's a supplement to the daily Karbonis. And Rashi says only something where the Torah mentions that it's a Hisafa to the Karbon Tamid, that gives something a Shem Musaf. Musaf meaning a Hisafa. Hisafa to what? To the daily Karbon Tamid. Something where the Torah makes no mention that it has a connection to the Karbon Tamid, that is not called a Musaf. And if you look in Parashas Pinchas, where the Torah enumerates all the Karbonos and Musaf for each and every Yontif, it begins first by saying over about the Karbon Tamid. Zeha Yisha Asher Takrivu Lashem, Kfasim B'nei Shonet Tzmimim, Shnayim L'Yoyim Oilas Tamid. The Torah first says that there's a daily Karbon called a Tamid. Then the Torah continues and says that on specific days we add to the Tamid. That's called a Musaf. A Musaf is something which is connected and adds on to the Karbon Tamid. With this we can understand why is it that as part of our tefillah, we only mention karbonis which are a musaf. Because tefillahs, the whole point of tefillahs is connected to tmidim. That's the Gemara in Bracha says. Tefillahs connected to tmidim tiknum. Shachrus is connected the karbon shal shachar. Mincha is connected the tamid shal bein arbaim. Mariv is for the ivorim updorim, which were craving kol alayla. So the whole takana of tefillah is connected to tmidim, and therefore on a day when there's an addition to the tmidim, there's a carbon musaf, a hisofa to the tmidim, so that also has to be mentioned in the tefillah. That's why we have tefillah's musaf. However, a carbon, which is a chayvus hayoyim, so even though it's a special carbon for the day, there is no chiv to mention it in tefillah if it's not a musaf. There is no chiv to mention all karbonis which you bring each and every day. There's no such a tefillah. The whole tefillah is either for the tmidim, or for the musaf, which is a hisofa on the tmidim. So we now understand why in Yom Kippur and on Atzeres, we don't make any mention of the karbonis which are chayvus hayoyim in the tefillah's musaf. Now it's interesting to point out that on Shavuos, in the musaf, when we say over the karbonis of the day, the musafin, so we say v'soyer l'chaper, there is one nusach, many siddurim bring it in parentheses, that says u'shnei se'irim l'chaper. What is the pshat in this nusach? There's no machlokes between the nuschois about how many karbonis are brought on Shavuos. Rather, the girsa v'soyer l'chaper only mentions the soyer, which is mentioned in Pashas Musafin. U'shnei se'irim l'chaper includes the soyer, which is mentioned in Pashas Emor, that comes together with the Shtei Alechem. There's a soyer mentioned over there as well. And here we have to understand, what is the pshat in this nusach? Why should we mention this soyer? We don't mention any of the other karbonis of that are chayvus hayoyim from Pashas Emor. And this actually is the girsa of the Baal HaTanya. In the Shar HaKoilel, which is in the back of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there's an arichos to explain why the Baal HaTanya held to say this nusach. Al Kaponim, getting back to our sugya, there's a machoikis in our Gemara, Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, if the ayal mentioned in Parashas Achrimos is the same as the ayal mentioned in Parashas Pinchas. And the Gevurah Sari discusses, according to Rebbe, that holds that this is really one ayal, what exactly is it categorized as? Is it part of the Chayvus HaYoyim, or is it part of the Musaf? That's the suffix of the Gevurah Sari. Now let's go back to Rebbe Abba. Rebbe Abba says, Don in par echod v'ayal echod, mi par echod v'ayal echod. So Rashi explains that on Yom Shmini Lemiluim there was a pyre in the aisle. Which part of the aisle is that? Rashi quotes the pasuk, Kach l'cha eagle ben bokor l'chatos v'ayel lo'ilo. Rashi says it wasn't actually a pyre, it was an eagle. But for our Gemara, the Gemara understands that would be considered the same thing, a pyre and an eagle. So that was the carbon that on Yom Shmini Lemiluim was brought for Aaron. There were actually carbonis that were brought for Aaron, and there were carbonis that were brought for the So the karbonis that we're learning out from, the pyre and the aisle that we're referring to in our Gemara, was Aaron's carbon, on Yom Shmini Lemiluim, the pyre and aisle. And from that we're learning to the pyre of an aisle on Yom Kippurim. Which pyre of aisle was on Yom Kippurim? Rashi says, as part of the Musaf, there was a pyre lo'ilo and an aisle lo'ilo. So we're learning from the Aaron's karbonis on Yom Shmini Lemiluim to the Musaf of Yom Kippurim. And the Gemara says, as opposed to Atzeres, which had two eilim, meaning the two Elim that were brought as Chayvus HaYoyim, together with the Shtei HaLechem. And the Gemara explains, even though there's a Manda Omer that on Yom HaKippurim there were two Elim, according to the Rebbe and Shimon there were two Elim, but since these were two different categories, one was for Chayvus HaYoyim, and one was for the Musaf, so that's still called that on Yom HaKippurim there was one Ayal. Masha'en can tell us there were two Elim as part of one set. There were two Elim that were for part of the Chayvus HaYoyim. Now the Ritva and the Tosfos and Rosh ask, that it would seem that the Havamina to learn Prisha to Atzeres would be because of the Karbonis of the Chayvus HaYoyim of Atzeres. That's what the Gemara says you can't learn out, because the Karbonis of Chayvus HaYoyim included two Elim. Now they ask, why would we want to learn to the Chayvus HaYoyim? We should learn to the Musaf. And if we would learn to the Musaf of Atzeres, the Gemara would not be able to ask it that there were two Elim, because the Musaf only had one aisle. So they say the Teres is, no, because if you would try to learn out to the Musaf, you wouldn't be able to learn out there either. Because the Musaf, Enech and Nami, there was one aisle, but there were two Parim. So Mamanashach, you can't learn out to Atzeres, because Atzeres is not the same as the Miluim. Atzeres, either if you try to learn to the Chayvus HaYoyim, there are two Elim, which is not the same as Miluim. And if you try to learn to the Musaf of Atzeres, it's also not the same, because there are two Parim. However, the Gevurah Sari still feels that it's Shver, because according to Rashi, that the limud to Yom Kippur was to the Musaf of Yom Kippurim. So to Atzeres also, we should have tried to attempt to learn to that Musaf of Atzeres. And then this, if so, the Gemara should have stressed that you can't learn to that Atzeres because that Atzeres has two Parim. The Gemara was mashma that the Havamina to learn to Atzeres is to learn to L'Chayvus HaYoyim, because the Gemara stresses that the problem is that there are two Elim. So the Gevurah Sari says, why would that be? If the limud to Yom Kippurim is to the Musaf, so the equivalent should have been to learn to the Musaf of Atzeres. And the Gemara should have said, you can't, because there are two Parim. Now let's get back to Rashi. Rashi says that the limud from Miluim to Yom HaKippurim is referring to the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim. The Parv Ayil that the Gemara is talking about is the Parv Ayil that was part of the Musaf. Now the Ritva and the Tosfos HaRosh ask on Rashi, why did Rashi want to learn like this? Why did Rashi want to learn that we're referring to the Parv Ayil of the Musaf? The Chayr, the Pashas, would have been that we're learning to the Parv Ayil that the Kohen Gadol brought for his own Kapara on Yom HaKippurim. Just like the Parv Ayil on Yom Shmini Lemiluim was part of Aaron's Karbonis, not the Tzibur's Karbonis, so it would have made more sense to learn from there to the Parv Ayil of Yom HaKippurim that the Kohen Gadol brings. Why does Rashi learn that we're referring to the Parv Ayil of the Karbon Musaf? And furthermore, they ask, the Gemara continues, Eima Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we should learn our Prisha to the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, no, Amar Bavo, Donin Parv Ayil Shaloi, Mi Parv Ayil Shaloi, La'afuke Hatzeres Rosh Hashanah Detzibur Ninu. The Gemara says, no, we want to learn out to the Parv Ayil on Yom HaKippurim because that was Shaloi, that was the Kohen Gadol. Now the Rishonim are Medayik, the Gemara doesn't say Elo, we're not being chizer from what we said before, it's the same limud that we're learning from Miluim to Yom HaKippurim, and we're saying, no, we'd rather learn Yom HaKippurim over other Yomim Tovim, even though they both perhaps have a Parv Ayil, because on the Parv Ayil on Yom HaKippurim was Shaloi. The Gemara is mashma that we knew the whole time which Parv Ayil we were referring to, the Parv Ayil of the Kohen Gadol, just we're stressing that that's the reason why we'd rather learn to that Parv Ayil as opposed to other Parv Ayil. According to Rashi, the Gemara Al-Karchach was chayder from what we said before. According to Rashi, before we were learning to the Parv Ayil of the Musaf of Yom HaKippurim. On that, the Gemara is forced to change. Once the Gemara asks, Eima Atzer, Eima Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is chayder, and the Gemara says, no, when we learn to Yom HaKippurim, we're referring to the Parv Ayil of the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to other Yom HaTovim, where the Parv Ayil was of the Tibur. According to Rashi, the Gemara is being chayzer. The Rishonim say the Gemara is not mashm like that. The Gemara should have said a Veloshon of Elo. So they explain Rashi, that Rashi was forced to learn that the Parv Ayil that we're referring to originally was the Parv Ayil of the Musaf, as opposed to the Parv Ayil of the Kohen Gadol. Because the Gemara asks, that Hon Yichel Amanda Omar, Yom HaKippurim Ayil Echadu, Ela Lamanda Omar Shnei Elam Ninu, Ma'ikal Meimar. The Gemara brings in the Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, if there really was one Ayil or two Elam on Yom HaKippurim. Now that Machlokes is talking about whether the Ayil that's mentioned in the Musafin is the same Ayil that the Tzibur brought in Parshas Achrimos. The Pasuk that says that the Tzibur brought an Ayil in Parshas Achrimos as part of the Kapara, was that really the same Ayil as the Musafin? Now that Ayil that the Gemara is referring to, where Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon argue, that clearly was not the Ayil of the Kohen Gadol. The question of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon was about the Ayil of the Tzibur. So here Rashi says that Rashi saw that when the Gemara originally said Parv Ayil of Yom HaKippurim, we must not have been talking about the Parv Ayil of the Kohen Gadol, rather the Parv Ayil of the Musaf. And that the Gemara says, well, it could be there was a second Ayil for the Tzibur. That's where Rashi saw that the Gemara was not referring to the Parv Ayil of Yom HaKippurim, rather the Parv Ayil of the Musaf. However, the Ritva brings the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi, and as well as the Gvura Sari learns like this as well. Because of these few rayas that we brought, first of all, the Gemara later is not mashma we were chayzer. When the Gemara says Don Parv Ayil Shaloi, the Pasha says that's the same Parv Ayil that we knew all along, and which is the Parv Ayil of the Musaf. Second of all, like we asked before, that when the Gemara compares to Atzeres, and the Gemara says Atzeres has two Elim, if what we were learning to by Yom HaKippurim was the Musaf, and therefore the equivalent by Atzeres would have been to learn the Musaf, so the Gemara shouldn't have said that they have two Elim. The Gemara should have said the problem with learning to Atzeres is that there's two Parim. And thirdly, like they say, that the Pashas would have been if we're learning from Miluim, and by Miluim the carbon of the Parva Ayil was the carbon for Aaron Ubanov, so the equivalent would be to learn by the Parva Ayil of Yom HaKippurim, which was Shal Aaron Ubanov, not the Parva Ayil of the Musafin. So the Rebbeinu Tam holds that we knew the whole time when we said that we're learning to the Parva Ayil of Yom HaKippurim, we were referring to the Parva Ayil of the Chavis HaYom of the Kohen Gadol, not the Parva Ayil of the Musafin. If so, so the question comes back, how could the Gemara be titled this in the Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon? The Gemara says that according to the Man Omar, that there were two Elim. According to Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon, the Ayil mentioned in Achrimos is not the same as the Ayil mentioned in Parshas Pinchas by the Musafin. Now those Elim that Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon are talking about was definitely not the Ayil of the Kohen Gadol, rather the Ayil of the Tzibur. So if so, the Gemara's mashma that we were talking about the carbon, the Ayil, the Parva Ayil of the Tzibur. So the Gvursa explains like this. He says, we definitely were not talking about the Par, which was part of the Musafin. We were talking about the Chavis HaYoyim. And when the Gemara said par va'ayil, the Gemara meant there was a par, the par that the Kohen Gadol brought as part of his kapara, and an ayil meaning that there was an ayil for everyone. The Kohen Gadol had an ayil, and the Tzibra had an ayil. But that's called one ayil because each one needed just one ayil. There was one ayil that the Kohen Gadol needed for his kapara, and there was an ayil that the rest of the Tzibra needed for their kapara. So we find a par and an ayil. Ayil meaning everyone needed one ayil. So that's what the Gemara wanted to learn to Yom Kippurim, which has a par va'ayil. And that the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, we can't say that there was just a par va'ayil. The Tzibra really had two ayilim. The Tzibra had their ayil as part of the Chayvah Sayyim in Parshas Achim Vais, and there was an additional ayil for the Tzibur. For everyone, really, the second ayil was the Musa for everyone. And that the Gemara says, no, you can't compare these two ayilim. These two ayilim are two different categories. There was one ayil which was part of the Chayvah Sayyim, and one that was part of the Musafin. So therefore, the Gemara knew the whole time. We're not talking about the par va'ayil of the Musafin. We were talking about the par va'ayil which was the Chayvah Sayyim. Just the Gemara asks, but there's a second ayil. And that the Gemara had to differentiate, no, the second ayil is part of the Musafin, that's not counted. So when the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, no, el don par va'ayil shaloi, we were not chayzer. We knew the whole time when we were talking about the par va'ayil mentioned in Parashas Achrimais. And the Gemara says, but we'd rather learn to that par va'ayil as opposed to the par va'ayil which we find in Rosh Hashanah, because the par va'ayil in Achrimais was for the Kohen Gadol, so that's comparable to the Meluim, where the par va'ayil, which was for Aaron the Kohen Gadol. Now, we have Shachal Gemara, the Gemara brings a machlekes. When the Torah says kach lecha or asay lecha, does that mean that it has to come dafka from the money of the one that the Torah is talking to, either Moshe or Aaron? And therefore, the Gemara wants to know when it says v'yemer el Aaron kach lecha eagle ben bokar lechatos va'ayil le'oilo on yom shmini lemiluim. Does Aaron himself really have to pay for these karbonis? If it does not mean that way, that Aaron has to pay for it, so we no longer have the argument of the Gemara donin par va'ayil shaloi mi par va'ayil shaloi. It wasn't really Aaron's. Now, Tosis over here asks Akasha. Tosis says that even if we'll assume that the Tzibur was the one who paid for the par va'ayil on Yom Shmini Lemilum, however, Tosis says, but the carbon was coming to be mechaper for the ovoin of the eagle. Tosis quotes the Teres Kainim, it says, v'aseyes chatoscha v'esoylosecha v'chaper ba'adcha, and the Teres Kainim says that it came, this eagle was mechaper for the cheta eagle, which Aaron took part in. And Tosis asks, so if so, Even if the Tzibur paid for it, but it was coming specifically to be mechaper for Aaron, so we should still be able to learn from the par of Yom Shmini Lemiluim to the par of the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim. Just like the par of Yom Shmini Lemiluim was coming to be mechaper for Aaron on the Chet Egel, so the par of Yom HaKippurim is coming to be mechaper for the Kohen Gadol for his Chatoim. And Tosis continues the Ayil as well. Tosis says the Ayil Yom Shmini Lemiluim Aaron did smicha on it. Tosis quotes the Gemara in Beitza Daf Chof, which says so, which makes such a drasha. So Tosis says we should still be able to learn from the ayil that Aaron brought on Yom Shmini Lemiluim, which he did smicha on, to the ayil of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, which also he did smicha on. So Tosis is asking, why do we care if it was Bo Mishal Tzibur, even if the Tzibur paid for it? Nevertheless, the par of ayil of Yom Shmini Lemiluim was comparable to the par of ayil of Yom Kippurim, which was mechaper for Aaron for the Kohen Gadol's Averis. Now, if we medayek carefully in Tosfos, we see that Tosfos' kasha is specifically based on the fact that the eagle was mechaper for Aaron and that the ayil he was semichon. Now, seemingly, Tosfos could have asked this kasha much simpler. We know there's a rule that when we talk about the bailim of a carbon, there's something called the makdish and there's something called the miskaper. This is a Gemara in Zvachim Davov, mentioned on later on in Yuma, Dafnun Amud Beis. A makdish and a miskaper. It says that makdish moisif chaymish, miskaper oisa tmura. The makdish, the one that paid for the carbon, the carbon came from his money, he's the makdish, and there are certain dine bailis that he has in the carbon, and then there's the miskaper. The miskaper is the one that the carbon is coming to atone for him. Now the lashon miskaper doesn't necessarily mean by a chatas or an osham, where the carbon is coming to be mechaper for aravera. Any carbon really accomplishes a certain ritzui, a certain effect of appeasement, a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's attained through the carbon. The one who's the miskaper, the one who the carbon is coming on behalf of them, they also have certain dine bailis in the carbon. And the Gemara says over there that as far as being moisef chemesh, there's a din that if a person is makdish a behema, later on he gets a mum and he redeems it, he has to add a chemesh. That's a din which is unique if the makdish is the one who redeems it. If someone else redeems it, he does not have to be moisef a chemesh. So who's considered the bailim as far as this din of being Moisef HaChemesh, the one who paid for it, the one who was Magdish it. There are certain dini bailis, the Gemara says, which are not telling the Magdish, they are telling the Miskaper. For example, the din of Tamura, if a person tries to transfer the Kedusha of a carbon onto another carbon, so he's over in Avera, and the Torah says, Vayahu Usmrasa Yiya Kodesh, both Kabaris become Kodesh. And that's a din. The din Tamura is only something which the Bailim can do. If someone else who is not the Bailim tries to do Tamura, it's meaningless. So who is the Bailim when we refer to the din of Tamura? Is it the one who pays for the carbon? Or is it the one that the carbon is coming on behalf of them? So the Gemara says it's the Miskaper, the one that's coming, that the carbon is coming to be Mechaper for them. This is a concept that comes up many times through Kutchim, that there's something called a Makdish and something called a Miskaper. Now the Chayra, Tosis could have asked his Kasha much simpler. Tosis could have said that even if you hold Kach Lecha is coming from the Tzibur, but clearly Aaron was the Miskaper of this carbon. The Tzibur had other Kabbanis that came on their behalf on Yen Shuni El Miluim. So definitely when the Pasuk says, Kach Lecha, Igo Ben Bokar Lechatos Va'ay Le'oilo, it definitely means Aaron was the Miskaper. So Tosis could have asked his Kasha much simpler. Tosis could have said that even if the Tzibur paid for it, but Aaron was the Miskaper, and therefore we should learn, Donin Parva Ayil Shaloi, we should learn from the Parva Ayil of Yom Shmini Limiluim, where Aaron was the Miskaper, to the Parva Ayil in Yom Kippurim, where the Kohen Gadol was the Miskaper. Why does Tosis have to stress that the Par was coming to be Mechaper for Chet Egel, and Tosis has to stress that he did Smicha on the Ayil? Let Tosis say simply that he was the Miskaper for these Karbonis. Now the truth is, the Achrenim ask a Kasha on Tosis. Tosis quotes the Pasuk by the Miluim, the Pasuk that says, V'aseyes chatoscho v'esoylosecho v'chaper ba'adcho v'aseyes karbon ha'om v'chaper ba'adom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Aaron to bring the chatos and the oylo to be mechaper for yourself and bring the carbon for the om to be mechaper for them. Tosis is trying to prove from here that the chatos and the oylo of Yom Kippur of Shmini Lemiluim was to be mechaper for Aaron. Tosis says specifically for Chet Egel, and therefore Tosis wants to say that we should be able to learn from Yemiluim to Yom Kippurim. Now Tosis brought a pasuk, but he left out two words of the pasuk. Tosis quotes "Vaseis chatoscho ves oilosecho v'chaper ba'adcho vaseis karbon ha'om v'chaper ba'adom." The pasuk really says "Vaseis chatoscho ves oilosecho v'chaper ba'adcho ube'ad ha'om vaseis karbon ha'om v'chaper ba'adom." Pashtus, the pasuk seems to be saying that the chatos and oilo that came from Aaron were mechaper for him and for the om v'chaper ba'adcho ube'ad ha'om. And additionally, there was a carbon for the Om, which was mechaper for them. So Tosis' whole point was to say that the carbon was mechaper for Aaron, and he leaves out the pasuk that says that it was mechaper for Klal Yisrael as well. So the truth is really Yishayel and Rishayim had to learn this pasuk. In the Ramban Al HaTorah, he quotes this pasuk v'chaper ba'adcho u'ba'ad ha'om, and the Ramban is matchik. He says no, really the par va'ayil, the egel va'ayil that came from Aaron, those were mechaper for Aaron. The carbon om was mechaper for the om. So what does the pasuk mean? Vaseis chatoscha ves oilosecha v'chaper ba'adcha u'ba'ad ha'om. The Ramban says the pasuk means v'chaper ba'adcha through the carbonis that were from Aaron. U'ba'ad ha'om is going on the hemshach of the pasuk. He should be mechaper for the om as well with the carbonis ha'om. He's matchik the pasuk that really the par v'ayil, the egel v'ayil really was only mechaper for Aaron, and that carbon, those carbonis did not accomplish any kapara for the rest of Klal Yisrael. They had their own carbonis which were mechaper for them. That's when the Ramban learns the pasuk. However, the Teres Koyinim is mevuah not like that. Teres Koyinim says that the egel lechatos and the ayil la'ilo which Aaron brought was mechaper both for Aaron and the rest of the om. The om had additional carbonis as well, but Aaron's carbon was not only to be mechaper for Aaron. Like the pashas of the pasuk, v'chaper ba'adcho ba'ad ha'om. Now it would seem that Tosfos learned like the Teres Koyinim, and that would explain why Tosfos has to stress the kapara of the Chet Egel and the smicha. We asked before that why does Tosfos stress that the Egel was mechaper for the Chet Egel and Aaron did smicha on the ayah? Let him say simply that these karbonis, Aaron was the miskaper for them. Even though the Tzibur may have brought them, but Aaron was a Miskaper, and therefore we should learn out to Yom Kippurim, where there was also a Parva Ayil to be that Aaron that was Mechaper for the Kohen Gadol. And it would seem the Pshat is like this, that no, Tosis held that really these Karbonis and Yom Shmini Miluim were Mechaper for the Om, like the Pasuk says, and like the Teres Kayanim learns. But however, Tosis was stressing that even though they were Mechaper for everyone, both for Aaron and for the Om, nevertheless there was something specific, something special that Aaron had with these Karbonis. And therefore Tosis quotes the Pasuk that says, V'chaper ba'adcha. Yeah, definitely Tosis knew the Pasuk says, U ba'ad ha'om. But Tosis was trying to stress that the kapara that these karbanis accomplished for Aaron was more than the kapara that these same karbanis accomplished for the rest of Klal Yisrael. For Aaron, there was something specific that Aaron needed a kapara for the cheta eagle. And therefore Tosis says that there was something unique about these karbanis which accomplished the kapara for Aaron. And Tosis asks, so therefore we should be able to learn from these karbanis of the miluim to the karbanis of the Kohen Gadol Yom HaKippurim, just like these karbanis of the miluim accomplished a special kapara for Aaron. So from that we can learn also to the karbanis that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom HaKippurim, which were mechaper for the chatam of the Kohen Gadol, and as well as the ayal. Also, Tosfos doesn't merely say that Aaron was the mechaper for the ayal, because Tosfos understood, like the pashtus of the pasuk, like the Torah's Kayim says, that no, these karbanis were mechaper for the rest of Klal Yisrael as well. So we can't say simply say that Aaron was the miskaper for these karbanis. Everyone was the miskaper for these karbanis. So Tosfos has to say, no, even though everyone was the miskaper, but Aaron was the one who was soimich on these karbanis. And therefore Tosfos says that we should be able to learn from the ayal that Aaron was soimich on Yom Shmini Limiluim, to the ayal that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom Kippur, which he was soimich on. So the kasha we asked before, and the second kasha, why Tosfos left it out, really answer each other, these two kashas. Tosfos knew that these karbonos are mechaper for the Klal Yisrael. And therefore Tosfos had to single out that there was something unique about Aaron. Aaron had something special with these karbonos. By the power, it was mechaper for the Chet HaEgel, and the Ayel had with Saimichon. So therefore Tosfos says that even if we hold that the Tzibur was the one who paid for these karbonos, nevertheless we should be able to learn from these karbonos of Yom Shmini Lemiluim, which accomplished something unique to Aaron, to the karbonos that the Kohen Gadol brought on Yom HaKippurim. Now the Gemara on Amud Beis brings from Ravina another pshat how we know to learn from Miluim to Yom HaKippurim. Ravina says, "Donen avoy detchilo me'avoy detchilo, na'afuki hani delav avoy detchilo ninu." The Gemara explains that both Yom HaKippurim and Miluim were avoydas tchilo b'mokim. They're the first time that avoydah is done in a specific place. Yom HaKippurim, it's when avoydah is done lufnai lufnim. And by Miluim, it's the first time avoydah was done in the new Mishkan. Now Rashi over here asks Akasha. Rashi says, V'im b'shir shashimesh Moshe kol shiva simeha miluim. And if you'll ask that Yom Shmini Miluim was not the first time that avoydah was done, we find Moshe Rabbeinu did avoydah. Throughout the 7 days of Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu did many avoydahs in the Mishkan. So how could we call Yom Shmini Miluim the first time avoydah was done? So Rashi answers, no. Ein kruya avoydah itzal avoydas koyinim shehu b'lvush b'gdei kohuna. In relation to avoydas koyanim, which is done with bigdei kohuna, Moshe Rabbeinu's avoda was not comparable. Rashi continues, because Moshe did his avoda b'cholok lovan, he did his avoda wearing a white robe. This is based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Daled, that says that Moshe Rabbeinu wore a white robe when he did the avoda. He did not wear the bigdei kohuna. So Rashi was bothered with Akasha that Yom Shmini Limiluim was not really the first day of avoda. And he says, since the Avodah up until that point was not done with Bigdei Kohuna, so that's still called that the first Avodah that was done was Yom Shmini Miluim. That was the first time Avodah was done wearing Bigdei Kohuna. Now the Sefer Siach Yitzchok, as well as the Mitzvah Eson, they both bring another teretz to answer Rashi's Kasha. They say that Rashi is really Dochuk. What's the difference if one was wearing Bigdei Kohuna or not? L'maisa Avodah was done in the Mishkan. How could we call Yom Shmini Miluim the first day Avodah was done throughout the Shavuos Yomim? And they say another teretz to the Kasha based on Tosfos and Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Daled. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah Lamed Daled is where the Gemara asks, how did Moshe Rabbeinu do the Avodah during the Shavuos Yomim Miluim? What did he wear? And Rashi explains over there that it must be that he did not wear Bigdei Kohuna, because the Pasuk says, Vasisa Bigdei Kodesh La'arin Yochicha. The Pasuk says clearly that the Bigdei Kohuna were exclusively for Aaron and his children. So even though Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do Avodah during the Shavuos Yomim Miluim, it was Hayro Asra, a special halacha, that Moshe could do Avodah even though he wasn't a Kohen, he was a Zar. Nevertheless, he had no heter to wear the Bigdei Kohuna. The Bigdei Kohuna were specifically for Aaron Ubanov. So the Gemara says, with what did he do Avodah? And the Gemara says, yeah, in a chanami, he didn't wear a Bigdei Kohuna, he just wore a chalak lovan, a white robe. Now Tosfos over there is chalak on Rashi. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu could not do the Avodah wearing Bigdei Kohuna because those begotten were designated only for Aaron Ubanov. Tosfos brings a Gemara in Zvachim Daf Kuf Aleph that says Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says Moshe Kohen Gadol haya v'nishtamish b'kohuna gedolam mem shana. The Gemara says that not only for the Shivus Me'am Miluim, but his status of Kohen Gadol remained for 40 years. And Tosfos brings B'Shem the Rimur Lainish that says that the Shevis Yemei HaMiluim, Moshe cannot have been wearing Bigdei Kahuna for a different reason. And he says because the Shevis Yemei HaMiluim, every day Moshe Rabbeinu would stand the Mishkan up and then he would dismantle it. And therefore the Rimur Lainish says the Mishkan did not have a status of a Mishkan, it had the status of a Boma. Just as there were time periods when it was mutter for every person to build a private Mizbeach in his backyard, that was called a Boma, he was mutter to be makriv on it karbonais, so too the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim, when the Mishkan was taken apart every day, it did not really have the status of the Mishkan. It was like a Boma, it was like an isolated Mizbeach that one could bring karbonais on. And that's why the Gemara asks, B'meshi mesh Moshe, what begotum did he use when he did karbonis on this bama? Because the din is, and on a bama, a zara can be makriv, you don't have to be a kayin, and there's no din bigdei kahuna. You don't wear bigdei kahuna when you're makriv on a bama. So that was the Gemara's kasha. Not because the Gemara held that Moshe cannot wear bigdei kahuna, rather the Gemara held that since this was a bama, one does not have din to wear bigdei kahuna while he's makriv on a bama. That's the Rimur language. And the Achrayim explained that according to this, we have another pshat to answer Rashi's kasha. Rashi asked, how can we call Yom Shmini L'Miluim the first day, Yom Tchilo L'Avodah? And the answer to the pshat is because until that point, the Mishkan was not really a Mishkan. It was a Bama. The first time Avodah was done with the status of a Mishkan, that was Yom Shmini L'Miluim. That's the pshat why the Gemara calls Yom Shmini L'Miluim Yom Tchilo L'Avodah. However, it would seem that we can ask a strong kasha on this pshat in the Gemara. In Parshas Pekudei, where the Torah talks about the Mishkan being erected, it says Vehi b'chodesh harishon b'shana hashenis b'echel l'chodesh hukom ha-mishkan, and the Pesukim go through how the Mishkan was erected, how each kli was put into place and readied for avodah, and the pasuk says like this: Ve'es mizbeach ha'oila som pesach mishkan oil ma'id v'ya'al olav es ha'oila v'es ha'mincha kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Rashi over there explains that the pasuk seems to be mashma that on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu put the Mizbeach Oila into place, and he brought on it, V'yal Olav Es Oila V'sa Mincha. The Pashas of the Pasuk is Mashma, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who brought the Oila and the Mincha. And Rashi says, yeah, even on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, where Aaron Ubanov began to do the Avodos, nevertheless, there were certain Avodos that Moshe Rabbeinu still did. Rashi says that Avodos that were done on a daily basis, the regular Karbonis Tzibur, like the Ktayres, and the carbon tomid, that Moshe Rabbeinu still did on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. Aaron and his sons brought the carbonis, which were unique to Yom Shmini L'Miluim, the special carbonis for the Chanukah Samizbeach on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. However, the daily carbonis, Moshe Rabbeinu still did on Yom Shmini. If that's true, the Chayre would seem to be very shver, the pshat of these Achrenim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu did actually do Avodah on Yom Shmini, and he did Avodah even before Aaron did Avodah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu brought the carbon tamid, the first carbon of the day. Now, Bishlam, if you learn the sugya like Rashi says that in relation to Avodah which was done by Bigdei Kahuna, other Avodahs do not count, and Moshe Rabbeinu, who did Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, according to Rashi, he cannot have done Avodah with Bigdei Kahuna. Bigdei Kahuna was only for Aaron Ubanov. So even on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the tamid, the stomach he did it with the Cholok Lovon, the same he did Avodah throughout the Shivas Yemei HaMiluim. So still, the first Avodah ever done with Bigdei Kahuna was the Avodah that Aaron did on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. Moshe's Avodah on Yom Shmini was still done without Bigdei Kahuna. So the Gemara is very good according to Rashi. The first time Avodah was done, Yom Tchila L'Avodah, is when Aaron Ubanov brought Karbonis on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. However, if you learn, like the Achrayinim, that the reason why Yom Shmini was called Tchila L'Avodah because it was the first time Avodah was done as a Mishkan, as opposed to a Bama, and they explain why was it still a Bama the first 7 days, because each day the Mishkan was dismantled. If so, so on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, when the Mishkan was erected, and it was erected to stay, not to be taken apart that day, so already at that point it had a status of a Mishkan. It was no longer a Bama. So if so, Moshe Rabbeinu did Avodos on Yom Shmini L'Miluim before Aaron did it, and it already was a Mishkan. It was not a Bama at that point. So how could the Gemara say that the purpose of Prisha was for the first time Avodah would be done in that Mokoyim? No, Aaron Ubanov was not the first time. We're not the first ones to do Avodah in that Mokoyim. Moshe was the one to do the first Avodah in that Mokoyim. It already was a Mishkan at that point, and Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Talmud that day. And the truth is, we can direct our Kasha on Tosfos and Avodah Zarah even without asking on the Achrayinim in the Sugya. Tosfos in Avodah Zarah held that Moshe Rabbeinu could wear Bigdei Kohuna while he did the Avodah. The only reason he didn't is because when he did Avodah the first 7 days, when the Mishkan was not really a Mishkan, it was a Bama. But if he would do the Avodah as a Mishkan, then he would be able to wear the Bigdei Kohuna. So if so, how would Tosfos learn the Pshat in Ner Sugya? What does the Gemara mean that Aaron's Avodah on Yom Shmini was Tchila B'Makim, the first time the Avodah was done in that Makim? If we learn like Rashi, that it was the first time Avodah was done wearing Bigdei Kohuna, that's not true. According to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, once the Mishkan already had the status of a Mishkan, then Moshe Rabbeinu himself, when he did Avodah on Yom Shmini, he could wear Bigdei Kohuna. So the first time Avodah was done wearing Bigdei Kohuna was Moshe's Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. And if we want to learn like the Achrayim, that Tchila B'Makim means the first time Avodah is done as a Mishkan as opposed to a Bama, that's also not true, because Moshe Rabbeinu did Avodah on Yom Shmini. At that point already he had the status of a Mishkan, not the status of a Bama. So how is Tosfos in Avodah Zarah going to learn the Pshat in Er Gemara? Now the truth is that Rashi in Parshas Pekudei, which we mentioned before, Rashi that says that Moshe Rabbeinu did some of the Avodahs on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, not everyone agrees to that Rashi. The Ramban Al-Torah learns the Pesukim differently. We won't go into it at this point, but the Ramban seems to hold that Moshe Rabbeinu did not necessarily do any Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. The way the Ramban learns the Pesukim, we don't have a right to such a Yusayd. Lamaisa, there's another Makar, like Rashi, there is another Rishon that says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu did Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. It's a Shita Mekobetzes in Zvachim Daf Yutes Amar Beis. The Gemara says over there that the Kiyar, in order for the Kiyar to be used for Kiddush Shadayim V'Raglayim, it has to have a minimum water to be Mekadosh the Yadayim V'Raglayim of 4 Kayanim. And the Gemara brings a Makar from the Pasuk and Parshas Pekudei, Vayosem es hakiyar bein oyel moed ubein mezbeach, vayiten shom mayim lerochtza, verochatzu mimenu Moshe ve'arin ubonov es yideim ve'es ragleim. And from here the Gemara brings a Makar, the same way the Pasuk is mashmah that Aaron and Moshe and Aaron's children washed their hands and feet from the kiyar. From here we learn that the kiyar always has to have a minimum amount of water for 4 kayanim to use to wash their hands and feet. Now the Shita Mekubetzes asks over there, how could the Gemara understand the Pasuk to mean that Moshe and Aaron and their sons all did Kiddush Shadayim V'Raglayim at the same time? They never did Avodah during the same day. Moshe did Avodah during Shivas Shemei Miluim, and from the Yom Shmini and onward, Aaron and his sons did Avodah. So there was never a point that these four all did Avodah at the same time. So HaKarchach, the Pasuk cannot mean that they all had to have done Kiddush Shadayim V'Raglayim from the same water in the Kiyar. That's the Shita Mekubetzes' kasha. And the Shita Mekubetzes says, no, even on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. He says, like Rashi says, that the daily Avodahs, like the Tamid and the Keteres, even on Yom Shmini, Moshe Rabbeinu did those Avodahs. Aaron and his sons only did the special Avodahs, which were coming on Yom Shmini to be Mechanech, for the Chanukah Sam Mishkan. So that's another reason that says, like Rashi. But Al Kaponim, according to the Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, perhaps that's a Raya that they held not like this. Rather, they held that Moshe did not do any Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim. Because how else can we understand the Gemara that says that the Prisha of Aaron was for the first time Avodah would be done on Yom Shmini? Moshe did Avodah on Yom Shmini. And they cannot learn, like Rashi, that Moshe did not do Avodah with Bigdei Kohuna. Because once the Mishkan had the status of a Mishkan, then Moshe Rabbeinu could also do Avodah wearing Bigdei Kohuna. So if Moshe did Avodah with Bigdei Kohuna, and already there was a status of a Mishkan and not a Bama, so what makes it that Aaron's Avodah was Tchila B'Makim? So perhaps they hold Enechanami that Moshe Rabbeinu did not do any Avodah on Yom Shmini L'Miluim, not like the Rashi we saw, and not like the Shita Mekubetzes in Zvachim. Now further down the Amud, Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yechanan, if you learn out the Din Prisha from Miluim, so then L'Dayri is also should be Ma'akev. Prisha's Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur should be Ma'akev. And he brings the Raya from the Mishnah that it's not Ma'akev. And Reish Lakish himself says, I have a different Mekar to learn the Din Prisha. Reish Lakish learns it from the Parsha of Sinai. It says over there that for 6 days, the Onan covered Moshe Rabbeinu, and that was a preparation for Kabbalah Satira. And from there we learn Prisha, Shekol HaNichnes V'Machne Shechina, Toin Prisha Shisha. That's the Makar that the Kohen Gadol, before he went to Machne Shechina also, before he went Lifnei Lifnim, he needed Prisha. Now the Gemara is not clear, what does Reish Lakish hold as far as the Prisha 7 days before Parah Aduma, before Sreifas HaParah? Is that something that he learned out from Sinai or not? The Gemara does not address Bechlal where Reish Lakish gets the Din Prisha before Parah Aduma. Now Tosfos, it would seem, held that according to Reish Lakish, you can learn out the Din Prisha of Parah Aduma as well from Har Sinai. Because Tosfos asks Akasha, he says The Gemara later asks that the pre-shir from Rav Sinai was only 6 days. Where does the seventh day come from? And the Gemara says, Zechashina l'tumas beisa, we're afraid of a boil nida. And Tosis asks, okay, that's good for the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippurim. However, before the Sarifas HaPara, Tosis makes a cheshbon that since a Kohen that Sarifas HaPara is kosher but full Yom, he's kosher even if that was the day that he was Tevil. So Tosis says he really only needs 6 days of a pre-shir, and that will enable him to be Tevil on the next day and bring the Parah Aduma. So why do we need the seventh day by Parah Aduma? It would seem that Tosis understood that according to Reish Lakish, the Makar of Prisha before Sarifas HaPara is also from Har Sinai. The Gemara doesn't say so clearly, but Tosis seems to have understood that way. And that's why Tosis asks, so we only have a Makar for 6 days and not for 7 days. And the Chaznish asks the Kasha on Tosis. He says, if the whole Makar of Prisha for a Kohen Gadol was learned out of Har Sinai, what's the Makar? By Har Sinai, it was called Nichnas B'Machne Shechina. It was a Prisha before Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Machne Shechina, before he went up to Har Sinai. And from that we could learn that the Kohen Gadol also, before he went to a Makom Kodesh, before he went Lefnayim Lefnim, he also needed Prisha. If so, the Chaznish says, how is that a Makar to the Parah Aduma? Parah Aduma had nothing to do with going to a Makom Kodesh. The Kohen did not go to Machne Shechina. It was a whole different issue. It was Prisha, maybe perhaps for Tahira, but he didn't go anywhere that's in Makom Kodesh. How could that be the Makar to the Din Prisha before Parah Aduma? So the Chaznish says, it must be that according to Reish Lakish, the Din Prisha of Parah Aduma has nothing to do with Har Sinai. What is the Pshat of the Din Prisha? Perhaps similar to what Rabbi Yochanan says early, Ma'ilu Ba'alma. Rabbi Yochanan himself, even though he learned Prisha from Miluim, the Gemara earlier says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Masni Tarti, Rabbi Yochanan Masni Choda. Rabbi Yochanan did not learn the Prisha of Parah Aduma from Miluim. He learned that it says, Ma'ilu Ba'alma. It's only a Ma'ilu. And what is the Ma'ilu Ba'alma? So the Chaznish says they were masmechit similarly to that we the same way we find a din shivas yamim, a prisha shivas yamim before by miluim. So we made a smach and we also gave a din prisha for before the Parah Aduma, but it's only a ma'ilu ba'alma. So the Chaznish says B'stamar Reish Lakish himself will hold that way as well. There's no way he can learn a din prisha from Sinai to Parah Aduma. There's no machne shechina over there. It must be it's also a ma'ilu ba'alma. And if it's a ma'ilu ba'alma, so they based it on a similar Din Prisha, which we found by Miluim, which was for 7 days. They made this Maila also for 7 days. So what's Tosis' Kasha that 6 days should be enough for Prisha before Parah Aduma? Akachach Reish Lakish does not learn Parah Aduma from Sinai. It's a Maila Ba'alma, so a Maila at 7 days. That's the Chaznish's Kasha, which he leaves off Shver. Now just to finish off, there's an interesting Drosha Saran on the bottom of the Omid. The Gemara says, what is the limit from Har Sinai? The pasuk says, "Vayishkoin kvoid Hashem al Sinai veyichaseyu ha'onon sheishes yomim veyikra Moshe b'yem hashvi'i." Michdi, ksiv veyikra Moshe b'yem hashvi'i, mai sheishes yomim, zebona av shekol anichlus v'machne shechina ton prisha. And the Drasha Saran explains the Gemara like this. When the Gemara says, mai sheishes yomim, the Gemara means to ask, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have prisha sheishes yomim? And his lashon of the Ran is ki ein sofik shaprisha titztarich lemisha itztarich eleo kedei lahatik nafshoi miinyan leinyan. The whole point of prisha is for someone who has to prepare himself to be mentally focused to be mekabel from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ran says, did not need that. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the pasuk says imdu veeshma ma'itzav Hashem lachem. Moshe was prepared at any moment to hear nevuah from Hakadosh Baruch Hu and to speak to Hashem. And therefore the Rana says, when the Gemara says, Ma'i Sheishas Yomim, the Gemara means, why was Prisha necessary for Sheishas Yomim by Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu did not need Prisha Bechal. And that the Gemara says, yeah, Zeh Bona Av, Shekol Nichas, Mech Nashkin, Atoim Prisha. The whole point of the Pasuk saying, a Prisha for 6 days was not really for Moshe, it was to tell us for future generations, that anyone that goes to Mech Nashkin, they do need a preparation, and therefore they do need Sheishas Yomim of Prisha.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.